and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And guess what? Can you feel the vibes? Can you feel the palpable vibe shift? We're in person. We are live and in person. We're not live for you, but we're live for
us. Guys, we're actually going to be doing the last two episodes in the same place we did the first two episodes.
Okay, romantic. Okay, everything is actually romantic. And guys, as we're recording, tonight we're getting the new Taylor album. So I'm just saying, Tuesday is going to go crazy.
And tomorrow we're going
to the Lord concert. We're having a crazy weekend, you guys. Tuesday's episode will be crazy. Don't miss it. Okay. We're going to dive in. I literally have a pit in my stomach with this being the penultimate episode. Like the penultimate episode ever. That makes me sick.
That's
sick
crazy.
To my stomach. I'm like, I don't want to watch the finale. I'm honestly so glad the thing we were supposed to do tomorrow got moved because I was not ready for that.
I know.
Emotionally.
I think it wouldn't have had the same weight if you watched 19 and 20 just back to back.
I'm just like, I can't believe.
You know, I think we should watch it together before we take
for
notes.
For sure. I can't believe we did it. Like, actually think about it. We have been doing this for almost 4 years. It took us almost 4 years to go through this whole show.
Yeah, wow.
And honestly, like, I just would love to go talk to us on the, it feels like yesterday when we sat in these chairs and recorded the first episodes, but I would just love to go back and talk to us and be like, so what do you see for the future? Guess what? It's going to be weirder than you think.
If you had to predict which cast members of Pretty Little Liars you would have weird online beef with, who'd you pick?
I don't think it'll be who you think, or maybe it will. Maybe it'll be exactly who you think.
I think one of them might be spot on.
Yeah, you might lose any possible collabs with Kim Possible along the course of this podcast.
And you know what?
But
and that was for the best, ultimately.
Oh, but okay. Anyway, so we're doing this. We're doing this today. By the way, if you didn't see on our story, I did post, we announced we are doing another episode with Sarah Shepherd. Obviously, like, last time we had her on last summer, we mostly talked about Nowhere Like Home, her book for book club. That was sort of our way of getting her on, you know? We were like, hey, we don't just want to talk about the main thing you do, like, in case she was bored of that. So we got her in through that. But then she's, like, so cool, and she's been such a great supporter of our podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we just absolutely love her. She couldn't be better. So if you're not following her, like, you got to go do it.
I texted Grace and Cammie and said, asked if they had any questions for her.
Yes. So
I was like, you guys are the... Cammie goes... Oh my God, I have so many questions.
Okay, Cammie, start writing them down.
I was like, you do?
No, but ask us, send in questions. We got a ton through our stories. I also posted it on Reddit. We probably won't ask every single question, but the goal is like, and I want to ask hard hitting questions. Like, I want to, once we finish the finale, look back at the 15-year interview they did and read through it and be like, so Sarah, what do you think of this? And read a quote. Like, I want to get messy. And I think Sarah's down. I got the vibe from the last time we met her that she's like down for a little bit of that. So anyway, if you have questions, send them to us. We are recording this next week. So if you're listening to this, you have like a few days to get us your questions as we're prepping. But it's exciting. We're going to literally look back at all of Pretty Little Liars and talk about it with her, which is so cool. We couldn't do that last time. I didn't even know Mona was alive last time we talked to her.
Oh my
God. And she kind of spoiled because she was like, well, I am just going to say, like, Mona is in The Perfectionist. And I was like, wait, yeah. And I still didn't go there. But anyway,
and
we're going
to
talk about that. She's watching the finale, too.
It's a testament to how great I did.
Oh, you did. You really did. But I think it's also crazy that she's going to, like, go back and watch the finale
to
talk about it with
us. I want to ask her. I should write that down. I want to ask her when the last time she watched it
was. Before. Yeah. She wants to be, like, super prepped. So that episode is going to come out right after the finale. So once we release the finale, that will be the next episode. Will be us and Sarah. So make sure you're there for that. And I also want to bring up some of the storylines we've created and be like, so what do you think of Memily? What do you think of Ella with her green hands?
Let's not explain what Memily is.
What does that mean to you?
And she gets to pick which M character it is.
Yes, I love that idea. Oh my God. Yeah, we'll be like, so was it intentional that Ella Montgomery's on horse tranquilizers, or was that just kind of like happened on its own organically? Yeah. So anywho, that's just an exciting update for you guys. And we've got more exciting updates coming as well. So now's not the time to fall off. Okay. I'm on the recap.
Thank goodness. I was actually stressed about that. Yeah. I could not remember.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. I actually knew you were stressed. It is your turn, but I prepped it because I knew you were stressed.
That's a lie.
Of course it's a lie. Don't read your mind. We are fraternal twins, not identical. I cannot read your mind. You know that. Okay, so things you need to know. Mona has cracked the code. Hannah was like, we got to bring in the big guns. We all know the big guns around here. Mona Vanderwall. By the way, I ordered my skeleton jelly cat, and somebody submitted that the name should be Bona Vanderwall. Sold. Done. So and I wonder, Phoebe's jaw dropped.
I wonder if there's another bone pun we could throw into the last name somehow.
I don't think it even needs it.
But we could think of one.
I mean, like, do your best, do your worst. But I think we're good. Bona Vanderwall is...
But I liked Anthony's suggestion.
What was it?
Femur, spelled with a PH.
No, femur was really good, too. But, like, I had already seen Bona Vanderwall when all these came in. I was like, so kind of has sorry, to be that. Nothing.
And it is your, she is your favorite character.
I know,
and
this especially is a great, after this episode. This is a great episode. From Bona.
Also, okay, guys, here I am saying it live on air. It was a good episode for Arya, I thought.
Okay, we'll get into that.
Terrible episode for Ezra, and it's like, that's why you guys deserve each other.
Yeah. But also, we'll get into that. I have some maybe conflicting thoughts on, like, that. Not, like, I don't think it was a bad episode. We'll get into it. Okay. So, Mona has deduced that Arya is on the AD team, tells the girls, they catch her in the act, and they're like, yeah, F you. We're done with Arya. A, B, C, D, E, F you is what they say. And they're like, you're outie, girl. And so Arya's
and
out.
Your mom and your sister and your sister dog.
And your dog is, like, low blow. And Arya doesn't have one. Because they don't keep animals as pets.
Right. They keep them as equals.
They're like, I'm not, what, you mean a wolf? If I adopted a dog, I would set them free. I would say, go be free with your wolf brothers, with your wolf pack. Anyway, the police have issued search warrants on all the girls' houses, but somehow Arya has come away from this clean because obviously she's on the AD team and that's like her reward as they're all playing this game. Arya finally told Ezra everything that's going on and told him about the files that she never filed, but the report where she said, like, he's a predator. And he was like, girl, I know that I'm a predator and I know that you wrote that, but it's okay. So they're all good
now,
I guess.
I was doing all the research.
Yeah. Remember that book I was writing about you and your friends and proof that I am a predator? Yeah, so I can't really be mad at you, actually. I have no room to be mad. Mona currently has the game and Caleb and Ezra have cracked that, found her with it. So they think that she is now, like, running the show. Lieutenant Butterscotch made her triumphant return. She is hot on the girl's case. She said, I will get you my pretty and your little dog too. And Archer Dunhill's body, by the way, in the back of Arya's trunk. Oh my God, who put it there? She just got in some car trouble and now a cop is showing up. Oh great. And that's really, and then Caleb and Hannah got married, which is the best part. And I know they're not going to get married in real life, but they did make TikToks together. And that is the next best thing.
Could you believe that?
No. And you know, when people sent it to me privately and on the podcast and tagged it, I was like, this is
epic. Of all TikTok trends for them to do, the one
that
arm.
That one? Come on. Mom goes, he is so cute. She goes, maybe, is he on the show? I don't recognize. Maybe he's cuter now. I was like, honestly, don't think he's cuter now than he was in the show. But, like, yes, he is so cute. Thank you. You're right.
Mom, I don't know that Mom would have gone for the flat iron Vince haircut.
No, she wouldn't have.
And hey, Vince, got a haircut.
You've been out of the house for at least 72 hours.
Got a haircut. Let's
snip, snip, babe. All right. So we open with Lieutenant Butterscotch requesting urgent signatures on arrest warrants for all the girls.
She thinks it's her day.
She thinks her day has come. You can hear the click clack of those stilettos because she's not wearing her fuck me heels. She's wearing her I mean business heels. She's wearing her let's arrest some liars heels.
Yeah. And it's like Christmas Eve for her. She's giving a kid on Christmas morning who's like, we can't open presents yet. Your mom is asleep. Well, wake her up.
Yeah. What's the hurry? This is time sensitive, people. Hello. Yeah, exactly. They're like, what if there's a dog under the tree and it can't breathe in the wrapping paper? Like, come on. That's sort of her level of urgency. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Arya and her moment. What would you do in this moment? You're pulled over. Or you're not pulled over. Sorry. Your car. You're hearing something in your car. You get out to check it out. You open your trunk. Dead body. Dead body that, like, you're low-key on the hook for. Drop your keys.
Right.
Cop pulls up, slam it shut. Now I don't have my keys. You know the cop is going to offer to help you, bitch. Cop comes out. What do you do? What do you say? I run in the woods as fast as I freaking can.
Caroline does not do that.
I get in the car and start slamming the gas. I'm like, why isn't it going anywhere? Keys are in the trunk, but I have a push to start car, so it would still go. My car would still go as long as the keys are in the car.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, Arya, there's your problem. Like,
after the show, Arya went on to design the push
the
to start key.
Yes. And that's actually her main contribution
to
the
society.
Earth. Yeah, exactly.
You would think it was her.
And it's not even that environmentally friendly, which is like, okay, head scratcher.
Well, maybe.
She sold out. She honestly sold out.
Always knew she would.
Knew she had it in her.
Exactly. This is the most professional podcaster I've ever felt, the way that I'm holding this right now.
You are acting like you are.
I feel like
Alex
I'm in the
Cooper,
New York Times.
And you're interviewing Kamala Harris. Honestly, your whole vibe is giving that right now. And mine too.
Well, I mean, we are both in sweats.
We are both in sweats. So that is kind of giving the unwell vibe.
But.
And I'm speaking in a presidential way, as I usually do.
So if you guys could picture how ethereal Alex Cooper always looks, just mm-hmm. that's how we look.
That's how we look.
I don't look like I haven't showered
in 2 days.
I might
even have more of a glow. than she does sometimes.
Than she did when she was interviewing the vice president.
Yeah, she was stressed that day. I'm not stressed. I feel good. I feel comfy. Thank you. I did a face mask. Just kidding. I didn't, but I need to.
Aria, though, even though she's so stressed, she still has it in her to kind of just be a bitch because the cop is like helping her and she's like, it's okay. My friend's like literally right here gonna help. And he
goes, play it cool a little bit, Aria.
He's like, no, it's okay. Like, let's save them a trip. I can do it. It's my job.
The cop look, he did seem suspicious of her.
He did.
But I know he wasn't.
But I'm just saying what I'm getting to is that he says it's not just getting cats out of trees. And Aria goes,
that's a firefighter.
That's fireman.
Okay, and now I'm opening your trunk and whatever's in here. I don't care what it is you're on the hook for and you're going to jail. And I don't care if I just find a tire in here. I'm figuring out a way to incriminate. It's stolen. It's actually a stolen vehicle now. Yeah. Yeah, that's a stolen vehicle. It's actually illegal to be standing on the side of the road here. So there's signs everywhere. It's dark. You can't see them. Anyway, So Aria is like coming up with the story as fast as she can, trying to get the cop away from her. He starts trying to shake the trunk loose. I mean, at this point, I was shocked she didn't, like, pull out a weapon and hit him over the head or something, like, and just add two bodies to the trunk.
She has the skin of the killer.
The trunk opens up, but, like, not all the way,
She's so lucky it's not one of those other kinds.
Oh, my God, she is so lucky.
She's also lucky that she drives this freaking sedan.
I know.
And not an SUV.
No, exactly.
Well, she wouldn't have dropped the keys in there,
I guess. And she would never drive an SUV. Hello, gas guzzler. Hello, haven't you heard? So the cop then gets a call, thank God. I'm like, he's probably getting the call to go arrest this girl that he doesn't know he's with right now.
How quickly do you think the future Fitzgerald family bought a Tesla?
I think it was almost immediate.
As soon as they bought a car as a family, they got the Model X.
Yeah, no, for sure. And sorry, but Wes, or whatever his name is, has a Cybertruck.
Yes, but now Aria and Ezra have the sticker on the back of their car that says
we bought this before. Exactly. Yeah.
We bought this before fascism.
Aria will not drive it. She's like, I will not be seen in this. I already have a target on my back. I will not be seen in this.
Aria's like, hey, don't call me that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So then everything's good, I guess. She gets her keys out of the car. And
he like
and
turns
fine.
Around to like take some kind of call and she's able
yeah,
to get
which
it.
I'm like, it's probably the call being like, hey, yeah. We need to arrest these girls. So Caleb is talking to all the girls. Are we at the dealer in his dungeon?
We're in the barn.
Okay. He's telling all the girls that Mona definitely has the game. And just again, sweet Hannah, she's so bummed. She's like, come on, Mona. Like, she's given Mona so many chances and she's gotten the girls to give her so many chances. And it's just like, imagine at the end of the day, like having to be wrong.
It would be
I know
like
she's
the,
not, but
the
like,
teacher
kind
who
of.
Vouches for a student to the other teachers. Yes. And they're like, no, I promise. Like, if they just apply themselves.
And then the student fucks it up and the teacher's like, okay.
I'm never putting my,
and then you,
sticking
but
my
then
neck
you
out
get
for
another,
you.
Another chance.
Yes.
And then you fuck that one. Yeah. Like it just is constant. And the girls are so ready to like jump down Hannah's throat anyway that I just hate it for her.
Do you think this was Alex?
What, in this episode? I pretty much just assume anything from here on out. I feel like I haven't seen Spencer in weeks.
Because there were a couple of weird things, like with Caleb, where I thought maybe it was her. And then also in this scene when she's like, well, it's just good. It's good you guys did not barge in there and like confront her about it. Well, we just need to go straight to the police.
Exactly, because they're at this part right now where they're like, okay, we need to go to the cops. We believe that Mona is AD. And Spencer's like, well, we need Mona before we can go. And Allie's like, why? And this is the first kind of moment that I was tipped off that, like, I still think it's Alex. And she's like, well, because then Mona can, like, tell them that, yes, it was her and, like, it's all fine. But it just seems like a moment where she's kind of stalling going to the cops for some reason. And I don't know. And then there are moments later where she says a few things to Caleb. And I'm like, I don't feel like Spencer would say that in this moment. But
me
we'll
too.
Get to that. So Caleb and Hannah are going to go talk to Mona. Hannah's like, I'm going to go talk to her. And Caleb's like, not alone. You aren't wifey. They are so Bonnie Clyde, husband wifey this episode.
I'm
I love
almost
it.
Getting the sense that if this is Alex, I'm like, did you not clock into the fact that Spencer and Caleb are over? Because Spencer like made a look over to Hannah and Caleb that was like, if it was Spencer, it almost looked like jealousy.
Oh, well,
and then she sees.
I wonder if it's just like they have a weird air about them this episode that they feel very like a package deal, and they have, but it feels more like it's almost like that.
It's almost like
newly wedded bliss kind of thing where it's like we just got married, we're on a high from like literally like 6 hours ago we got married and we're on a high from it, and now you're not doing anything without me. Like, and also because they can't testify against each other, so if they go together, that's safer than like it being a different way, I guess, but. Ezra can't get in touch with Aria, and he's fucking mad at the liar.
Spencer
She's like, you guys kicked her out of the freaking group. You kicked her out of the group. Now I can't get in touch with her. She's my wifey, too. I know you're not the one with a wifey, Caleb. Wait, what? Wait, what? Did I just spill the beans?
Before that, though, Spencer saw in the doorway wine bottle with a note in it, and she, like, wants everybody out of there ASAP because she's, like...
Like, Mary, kind of bold.
She's fiending. And Ezra says the only edge that y'all had over AD was that you could forgive each other. And here's what I want to say. Of course that's what Ezra thinks is the only thing that this friend group has over AD because it's the only thing that exclusively has benefited Arya. Every time the forgiveness typically ends up going mainly to one person.
Yeah.
And that's Arya. So the
Mona.
The one time they aren't willing to quickly forgive Arya, it's the biggest fucking problem in the world.
Yes, but also I'm like, I do feel like if we want to pull out times they've really forgiven each other, like, you know, the moment with the museum ticket where Arya had to forgive, I mean, I'm taking it way back, where Arya had to forgive Hannah, or the moment where we get Hannah needing to forgive Arya because Arya snapped at her about weird Zach or whatever his name was, or we have them needing to forgive Allison for fucking everything, or Mona for everything, or Z, you know? So I do feel like he's like, that's been your superpower and now you don't have it. But it's also like, okay, but if Arya is the one and also Ezra, you don't have all the information to think that that's the only thing they have over AD is what's weird. Cause it's like, they've forgiven everyone a zillion times. Yeah. They've had
this
to,
because
there's been a bigger issue at play and it's been like, well,
when you're not taking a second to step back and say, well, why this is different.
Right. Right.
And this isn't like, just like a stupid mistake.
Yeah. I feel like this episode, we see so much loyalty from like the partners. We see so much of them like being like, it's too real now, stop it. And whatever. So Arya is driving. They're going to go find Arya. And or Ezra, like, sorry, Ezra storms out. Caleb follows him. And Ezra's like, I'm sorry that I included you in all that. Like, I don't include you. And he's like, well, you probably should have.
And they can't get in touch with Toby. Yeah. And then they're going to go look for Arya and Caleb. At first, I was like, what the fuck are you asking? Caleb was like, does Arya have an extra set of keys? And I was like, well, her car is with her. So I don't
know. Yeah, why was he asking that?
Apparently, and this is one of those things where I'm like, did you guys just make up something technology can do? Because I don't believe that this is possible. Mm-hmm. You can use the transmitter and the keys to find the car.
Okay.
Which I guess makes sense with the honking, but I'm like, if the car is on and driving, are you just going to walk around? Like,
I mean, I guess. Well, maybe they're blue snarfing or something. There's probably some element of blue snarf going on here. If I had to guess.
Always is.
So Arya's driving and she's talking to the corpse in her backseat and she's telling it to be quiet because it's rumbling around back there. And she's like, you know what? Ugh, I should have just let the police find you. Actually, maybe I should just go to the police, turn myself in, tell them I killed you, and that will fix things with my friends. This is a great moment for Arya.
I agree.
Where she, like, I can't believe it's really
her.
Her, but also, like, the first time she's having a moment where she's like, how do I actually fix this? Uh-huh. This is how I could. But.
And she's not thinking about how her friends are so unfair.
No,
to
she's
her.
Really, like, she, and she seems good with it. I think I just always view it through this lens of like, yeah, but you're still thinking it'd be easier for me, because last episode she decided I'd rather be in jail where I can't be contacted by A ever again. Like, actually, jail sounds like a fucking vacation. So I'm like, maybe she's romanticized it in her mind, but maybe I need to give her more credit. Okay, I can admit it. Maybe I do.
Yes, this scene is kind of reminding me, and I don't know if it was intentional, but it's kind of reminding me of the scenes in Psycho where the main girl is just driving around and she's so paranoid.
Yeah,
and
I actually thought the same thing.
Knowing this show, it probably was meant to kind of be like that.
Almost,
but
definitely.
That's what it reminded me of. So then we go to Mona. Mona goes inside and she hears a bunch of stuff and then she goes to take the cover over the game and it's missing. It's completely gone and she almost, it's like, this is a terrible comparison, but this is like kind of how she acts. You know, you know that scene in Cyberbully with Emily Osment?
I actually don't think I've ever seen Cyberbully.
No need to watch it.
Oh, okay. Usually you're like, what?
No,
okay, so
this
really
one is,
must not
this
need
one's
to.
Like actually like.
You're like, Caroline, we know you lived it.
No.
Actually, no. And you sound really insensitive.
There's this scene where Emily Osment is about to.
Okay.
And she is like, she can't get her friend, Kay Panabaker, is somewhere figuring out that she's just uploaded a video online telling everybody what she's going to do.
Jesus Christ.
And so Kay Panabaker, smart friend, even though she was being a bad friend before, and that's kind of what got us here.
Oh.
And she. But Emily Osment was also being a bad friend. It's all that's what this movie's all about.
Sounds
teen
like
relationships. And so Kate Panabaker, genius, calls the ambulance. The ambulance gets there. When she gets there, she runs up to the bathroom where Emily Osmond cannot get the pill cap off.
Oh, my God.
And so Kate Panabaker is, like, trying to wrestle it out of her hands. And the thing explodes and the pills go everywhere. And Emily Osmond, like, panics. She screams so loud. I mean, honestly, Emmy-worthy, Oscar-worthy. Oh, wow. She's like, yeah,
it was a film, so Oscar.
She's having, but it was like a TV film anyway.
So Oscar. So Golden Globe, okay.
She's having like this crazy reaction. She's so pissed, and that is how Mona kind of, I think, her brain probably felt when she opened the little container and she saw that her drug supply wasn't there, and she was like,
yeah, her
and drug. now she has an errand.
Yeah, the note says time for pie. Be there. She's like, I'm not hungry. Anyway. So Hannah and Caleb are coming to check on Mona just as she's leaving her apartment, but they were sneaky. They hid in the stairwell.
Hannah was sneaky.
Because Caleb was like down to like actually face off Mona in the hall.
Caleb goes, why'd you stop me? And Hannah says, because now we can follow her, fucking idiot.
Like, Hannah's like, actually, can you just stay in here? You're bothering me. So Hannah wants to find out where Mona is going. While all of this is happening, obviously we saw that Spencer got the note from Mary Drake in the wine bottle. And Spencer goes to meet up with her at the Lost Woods Resort. And Mary has a going away gift for Spencer. And she's like, well.
And Allie.
So she's like, well, I don't have anything for you. And it kind of sounds like she's going to make Spencer go away. But Mary's going away. She doesn't say where she's going, but she's like, I have left you and Allison the deed to the Lost Woods Resort. It's in your name and Allison's name. And it is my way of helping with the lawyer's fees that you are definitely going to fucking need. And it's not enough because I owe you an entire life. It's a great, honestly, great episode for Mary Drake. I kind of hope this is like the end of her story and it can end on this note, even though I know she killed Jess D, but
who
whatever.
Cares? I kind of wonder if this is Alex. Like, if this will create some kind of vendetta that Alex will then have for Mary Drake.
Well, my thing is, like, I don't know the relationship between Alex Drake and Mary Drake, really.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, if Alex knows that Mary's her mom, too.
Like, is Spencer...
And she's in Mary's... Or Alex is having this vantage point of, like, I'm Spencer and I'm seeing everything that Mary's willing to do for Spencer.
Yeah.
And she never even, like, came to, like... Because
for a second, I was like, maybe Mary didn't know she had twins. Well, I think you pretty much know that, I guess. again, these are the things we'll have to discuss once I've seen the finale, which is why you have to keep listening once we finish, because there will be so much to discuss. But like, yeah, I wonder, because there is just this face on Spencer or Alex's face. It's just like, I can't really read it. I can't really tell what it's almost giving. You know, I just saw a clip the other day of it's from American Psycho, and it's the lunch scene between mm-hmm. Willem Dafoe and Patrick Bateman, where they had Willem Dafoe film it three different ways. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. And they have him do it one way as though he's guilty, one way as though he's innocent, and one way as though he's unsure, so that it would look like Patrick Bateman like could not read him. And it's genius. Like, I was watching it trying to figure out which
was
which.
I love that movie. I want to watch that movie again.
It's so good. It's so geniusly
done. Not in a weird
done.
Way, guys.
But I almost feel like that's what we've got with Alex Drake / Spencer here. Like, I cannot get a read on what she knows, how she feels about anything.
I'm sorry. If I ever get into a position where I can start to do this kind of thing.
I don't predict it for you, but okay.
No. You haven't heard what I've said yet. And you're still going to be like, this isn't something anybody's ever going to be able to do. Oh. If I get into the position where I get to create Emmy categories.
Oh, well, okay. I'm in. Thanks for the invite. Let's
I
do
want
it.
A retroactive Emmy category.
For Pretty Little Liars only.
Well, not even just that. I just mean that, but my first nomination and winner is Troy and Bell. Sorry. It's yeah. more of one of those awards that it's like there aren't a big list of nominees. Mm-hmm. It's like this is our honoree for the retroactive Emmy Award
yeah.
this year. And it's first and foremost awarded to Troy and Belisario.
Yeah. And everyone's like, well, of course. And everyone in the audience is like, oh, duh. Like everyone's like, booey. And like slaps their head. Honestly, we could probably get this into the Culture Awards. If we got in touch with Matt and Bowen, I bet they would hear us out.
And you know
what? I just want to know if they've watched Pretty Little Liars.
Because you know, I don't know if Bowen would be sold, but
you know who
Matt
would
be sold.
By the way, Matt, not a tour date in Nashville or Pittsburgh is kind of crazy.
Well,
I would have been there.
I would have been there, and that's why it's crazy. But otherwise, I understand.
Well, I don't. Okay, so moving right along. Spencer, whatever, finds out that she's going to get the deed tomorrow. We are now at the De Laurentiis dungeon with Emerson, and the cops keep circling the house, and the girls are, like, on edge, of course. Allie thinks they should be looking for Aria, but Emily's like, no, Allie, you are safer here. We're keeping you here. And Allie asks some, I think, pretty reasonable questions like, hey, what's going to happen to the baby if we are arrested, as it looks like we're going to be? And Emily's like, Allie, that's crazy. Like, we will be totally fine. Emily seems delusional, but she says, it took me so long to finally get here with you. I didn't come all this way to lose everything now. I promise you, I won't let them hurt you. Not a gas leak.
Emily,
not a full-on gas leak in the house.
Emily does what Emily does best here, which is make promises that she's never going to keep.
Hey, Emily, ever heard of over-promising, under-delivering? It's like your whole thing. And you've got to stop. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sue me. Sue me. I want to be. Sue me. I want to be. Yeah. I love that.
I also love that that's like, that's been adopted by Rye.
By Rye. They do it all the time. I know. Well, they also do.
Morning.
Which
I tried to explain morning. To you that a time, I think a week before they started putting it on their episodes.
Wow.
It's hysterical when they do it, I guess.
Well, everything they do is hysterical to me, yes. I love all the little tailors they put in. Honestly, Ride the Pod and the Pretty Little Pod, not that different.
Taylor said the same thing.
Really? Mm-hmm. Thank you. When we look for pods that we're like, who do we want to emulate? It's really changed in the past year who we have at the top of that list. And like, Ride is up there. I know it's a different vibe, and we're not on a hit crime show, but like, it's only a matter of time.
The two others have like kind of done it for me. I mean, they're still the same. It's Seek Treatment, Lost Culch, Ride.
Well, for a while, also Pop Apologist, but like now I feel like we're on two different paths.
Certainly
two different
paths.
Wearing
different colored glasses.
Yes, for sure. Even outfits, even dots on our licenses or something.
Wait, what?
They would definitely wear what we're wearing right now. We're like, never mind. Okay, so I'm just going to keep going on this. So anyway, there is literally a gas leak happening in the house. Just as Emily says, I'm going to keep you safe. And it's like, hey, Em, this is what I was talking about. When I said the over-promising, under-delivering, this is kind of what I meant.
I almost just said such a terrible joke.
Oh, great. So Aria's outside the police station gathering her statement. You know, she's like, this has to be perfect cinematic. She's like writing it in her head. She's waiting to go in. She gets fucking attacked by Ezra. Ezra's like, what are you doing? And Arya's like, I'm going to turn myself in. And Ezra has some really funny lines this episode. He also has some lines that he definitely thinks are really funny that don't hit.
It's the line the way he I wants have been waiting since we started for you to hear.
I don't want to say it yet because we're not there, but like, yeah. Believe me, it made an impact.
Wait, I can hear her. Just keep talking.
This is way better than it would be in there, FYI. She can't come in, lock the door. I didn't know what you meant at first. Okay. So, oh my God, you better move quick. We know mom's going to try to get in here. That's why Phoebe's locking the doors. The only room in the house where you can lock the doors.
famously,
we know, because Phoebe used to do her dance parties down here. None of us got to watch. Okay. So as she's like, Ezra says, I'm not interested in you making more sacrifices for your friends. You have an alibi. Like, why would you do this? And she says, well, his body's in my trunk. So
I want an itemized list. Of sacrifices Aria has made for these girls.
No, I would love to know. So next, Caleb and Hannah are watching Mona. She's in the diner. She's got her pie. She's waiting for whoever she's meeting.
When he says you have an alibi, and she says, do I? There's a freaking body in my trunk. Z.
She's like, and then, you act like you know everything, and it's real. It's honestly such. This is such a man moment for
and
you.
Then,
anyway,
and then rock music starts.
And then rock, yeah. And then and
it's giving hunting wives.
This is giving hunting wives. I'm afraid mom is gonna pull out a gun and try to get in here. Just kidding. That would be impossible. We don't have guns.
It's giving hunting wives. Mom
is pounding on the door. Mom, we have to get this done. We did lock you out on purpose. What? Mom said she's mortified that anything about us would be giving hunting wives. And honestly, I get it. Yep. Because we locked ourselves in the playroom? Hunting vibes? No, why would you need to call Child Protective? Do you think...
We're both over the age of 22.
I am a ripe 30 years old, so there's not much.
What? Are we having two different conversations?
She's like, well, maybe because I can't hear you because you locked me out. if I was in the room with
She's
you.
She's purposely confusing.
If I was in the room with you, we could actually have a conversation.
The reason this is giving hunting vibes is because that, not this situation, the show that we're talking
the
about.
The show that we're talking about.
As Hannah and Caleb are watching, this the bluesy music that started to play when she said the thing about the body being in the mm-hmm. trunk, and it switches over to this scene, and then we're watching this, like, it gives us, like, this little, like, what's that called when a camera's on a dolly?
Pan.
And it's going, it pans over this, like, the Two Crows Diner, of course, it's a little dive.
Yeah.
And
we've been here before, right? Many times?
Yes. Kay. It's giving when... In Hunting Vibes when they go to Joe's.
Ah, yes.
And this
right.
is the kind of music that would be playing.
Good point. So true. So they're waiting, they're watching. And this was a moment I was like, is this Alex? Because Spencer shows up and I was like, was Spencer supposed to show up? Did she show up here to meet Mona? And like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, and now she's just playing it cool. Because originally it was just, and I'm also like, how does Spencer even know they're here? Like, because they decided to come here after being at Mona's apartment by themselves.
And she's the one who holds up the note later.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just something I thought of. But Spencer shows up and she's like, well, if we go in, like, we're not going to figure out who she was supposed to meet. So I feel like she just wants to sit there and wait and see. And AD knows that nobody will ever come. Hannah believes Mona's here to meet Cece, which was a bizarre line to me. She goes, she's here to meet Charlotte. What?
No, she was saying she came here to meet Charlotte.
Oh, before. Okay,
the night, because
okay.
Remember when Mona called yeah. from Two Crows?
Yes. Okay, now I get it. Hannah, of course, our girl, heart of gold, still believes Mona can be innocent, at which point Spencer pulls her aside and she's like, look, I talked to Mary. She left the motel. She thinks we're going to have lawyer fees. Like, we need to get Mona while we can. They turn around.
Before this, we
Caleb
almost have a Freudian slip, though.
We do.
Because Spencer says... You guys were arguing like married people.
And they look at each other and Caleb's like, hell yeah. Caleb's like, that was
yes,
totally the goal.
Score.
I was trying to act like, I was like, is anyone going to know as we're acting married as fuck? Is anyone going to pick up on it?
Ezra's the only one and he was like kind of pissed about it.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, well, we were supposed to get married first. Anywho. So Caleb has gone inside to meet Mona. And we see him walk in through the window. This is hilarious. He like walks up to the table with Mona. He's like, how's the pie? She says she's not hungry. He's like, okay, grabs it, starts eating it. And then he's like, so.
She looks, by the way, horrified.
Who are you waiting for?
She looks. Yeah.
She's like, okay, did you not read Emily Post's etiquette book? It's it's like a big thing in the show. So anyway, he takes a bite of her pie and he's like, so who are you waiting for? And he says, you and I are going to walk out of here. We're going to go to the police. But first, we're going to go pick up the game at your house. And she says.
And she starts.
I don't have it.
This is giving like someone just said, we're going to go get the drugs that you've been taking.
Yeah.
And we're going to
flush
them down the toilet
in front of you.
And she's like.
She's like,
and I really wish we could even go find them.
I know.
But
she,
it's gone. And everyone
really,
keeps stealing the game from me. Someone's always stealing
yes,
the game from me.
She's freaking out. She's reverting back to, sorry to say it, loser Mona. She's tweaking out.
Hey, I think
she's
she'd
like, I told
it.
Hannah it was a bad idea for me to touch that. We are out of our depth here. There is always somebody watching or manipulating. And Caleb says, this is Rosewood, Mona, not Area 51. Finish your pie.
Second contender for our retroactive Emmy category is... Janelle Parrish.
Yeah, of course.
Because when she grabs that napkin in the scene and she's like, I told Hannah.
Yes.
Wait, what did she... My messing with that thing. Like,
yeah.
Even just the way she's starting to talk, I do the concept of loser Mona being
yes.
anyone's safe space.
Yeah.
Like, going back to your safe space, it's like...
It's so sad.
It's like,
she's literally reverting to, like... But also, it
when
makes
she
sense
was
later
miserable.
On. Spencer says, you know, she's reverting to the time where the most dangerous thing she had to deal with was Allison bullying her. Not somebody trying to fucking kill
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I guess
you
that's
know?
True.
So the stakes
Allie's
were
like,
so different.
Should have tried fucking harder, Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
yeah, exactly. So, Mona gets the receipt for the pie... And she makes a run for it immediately when Spencer and Hannah barge in. They barge in. They're, like, basically flipping tables. They're like, all right, this is a stick-up. Like, they walk in.
Hunting wives.
Yeah, okay. You're right. It's giving crazy. It's giving fucking crazy.
They go to
Spencer
the bathroom.
Spencer holds up the check, and it says on it, leave now. I'm like, did the waitress give this to you?
That's what I'm confused about. And that's
can
not
we,
even,
can
like.
Can we grab the waitress? Someone go get the waitress. Someone go after Mona. Like,
that's not even what the receipt looked like
no.
when they passed it down. So I'm also like, was that an Alex's fucking... Was Alex going to slide that over to
yeah,
Mona
true,
on the table?
True.
I don't know. But
who
anyway.
Knows? So Caleb, they go into the bathroom. They think that she like left through there.
That's where they find the note.
This is bonkers to me. Caleb starts feeling the walls. And like, I know it works out, but I'm like, okay.
But I saw the door. The thing to me is like, I walked in and I immediately saw the like,
oh,
the
didn't.
Massive like door shaped thing in the panels.
Totally missed it.
It was clearly a door. And I'm like, Caleb, you're supposed to be smart.
He's like, knock, knock, listening for like a hollow wall. He finds it. there's like this secret passageway. And Hannah, of course, first one to volunteer to go down. Caleb says, I'm not letting you jump into any more holes anymore. And Spencer's like, oh, don't worry, Hannah. Like, I'll go with him. And this is another moment where I'm like, weird vibes.
And they walked on the steps and Spencer smacks his ass.
Does she really?
No.
I literally believed you because like that's kind of how weird she's acting this episode.
Let's go, cowboy.
Okay, side note, LB, Lieutenant Butterscotch, she has the signed arrest warrants for the girls.
We get this shot of all of their old mugshots. And everybody picture in your head what Aria Montgomery's mugshot would look like. And what is her mouth doing? Half a gape? Half a gape?
Hey, it's exactly what you're picturing.
She's going.
And now picture Spencer's. They just basically superimposed a photo of Spencer from like the season one promo in her blazer. And they put her in
she's
front
like
of
stunting.
A lot. Like, yeah, exactly.
So then we go to the brew and Ezra is planning their escape. Ezra's like, we're going to fucking beat feet, Arya.
Ezra's like, have you read Romeo and Juliet? Just if you haven't, don't tell me. If you spark noted it, just please don't. If you read No Fear Shakespeare, just don't tell me. Let's kill ourselves together. Just kidding. Arya's like, you forgot something. And he goes, the dead body in the trunk of your car? No, I didn't forget that, which was a funny line. And I don't remember what she forgot, though.
Her friends.
Oh, her friends.
Which is like, that's so bottom of the list for Arya.
That
typically,
it's like crazy
that's why you would forget.
Like, she never would say that.
Exactly.
I even have it written here. Arya won't let her friends down again, even though Ezra wants her to. And I still was like, I don't know what she says he forgot.
I like this line. She said, I did the bad thing, not them. Because she's like, Ezra, you need to like get a fucking grip.
Yeah. And also like, I'm sorry, but what Arya has done here is different than what the other girls have done. Like anything that she's forgiven them for. If you're trying to say that Arya's had to forgive them for X, Y, and Z, whatever she's had to forgive them for is not the same as this level of betrayal.
Also,
and the stakes, again, in high school, the stakes were high, but they are so much higher
this
now.
This is dealing with adult problems.
Yes.
Like the thing that she
and
did
adult
to
consequences,
the nursery.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's making, and also it's like, it's one thing when it's doing it. And like, if you were just doing a couple little things that even if they didn't, they might've had bad consequences, but not directly to your friends, but like, it's not like you were just running things to the mail You were like actively setting things up so that Spencer's parents would get a divorce.
Yes. You've caused some serious issues. And at the same time, the girls don't even know the depth of everything you did. So I'm sure they're extrapolating and thinking of other things that they could imagine you've done. Like,
listen, guys.
And they're
Caroline,
also like, well, what would you have done?
Caroline would never speak to Arya again.
No, Arya would be dead to me. Like dead to me. She would. I can't even explain the amount of groveling. The limit does not exist. So they decide, or Ezra's like, I want to get everybody. I want to leave Tanner's jurisdiction, just make this a little bit harder for her to arrest you guys. But first, we're going to need to deal with a body in your trunk. And she's like, are you sure you can handle this? And he stands up as straight as he possibly can and looks at her as if he's going to salute. And he says, I have a master's degree in American literature. There is nothing I can't handle. And walks away. And I was like, you know, he felt like he ate and like,
you said that just like Allison would have said it, though.
Did I?
That was your
Allison.
No, my Allison,
read me this. I have a master's degree in American literature. There is nothing I can't handle. Be something
that
like
was
that.
Good. The handle was really good.
There would be something like that. There'd be a vocal fray, of course. But Ezra, like, I just was like.
But like, I want, again, like, it's one of those moments. I want to be in the writer's room when that line was pitched.
Yeah. Well, you know, they all thought this was going to be like a mic drop moment. And I don't know if it hit the way they thought it was going to hit.
Arya's like, imagine Arya's
like.
Because
I'm like, also like,
imagine
this
he didn't
isn't the
finish,
time for jokes.
Imagine he didn't finish his master's and he says that.
And
Arya's
and
like,
well, you still have two courses left. But I won't tell anyone I don't know if you can really say that yet. I'm just saying that.
I can.
I can say it, but I don't know if you're there yet. I also am just like, Ezra now isn't, it's not like a funny time. So that's, I think, why the joke doesn't hit that hard. Like, if it were a time when like everyone's around. And
but
it's
also
like,
it's unclear if he's actually making a joke.
It's like, you're going to dispose of a dead body. Yeah. Do you actually believe that is
right.
The other thing.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't, the CMU acting didn't really make it clear. Sorry, I am going to say that. Okay, so then they go outside and actually the body is gone and her trunk is cleared out.
Guys, AD completely forgot that Ezra had a master's in American literature.
She was like, wait, I can't handle that. Okay, we got to get this out of here. She's replaced the whole car. She's like, replace the whole fucking car. I don't have time for this. Oh my God, I forgot this. Imagine what he's read. Imagine what he knows. Imagine what he's capable of.
So we go to the Rosewood High School, apparently, and Allie's got like severe eyeliner on her bottom.
I didn't even notice because I was studying the chalkboard behind her where she's writing every possible iteration of her name. So did you write them all down?
Allison De Laurentiis. Allison De Laurentiis Fields. Vivian Darkbloom. Holly Varjak. Emmy Thurwald?
Don't know that one.
I'm going to Google that one. And then Mrs. Rollins.
So this reminds me of when Anthony and I just started dating, and I was finishing up a course online, and I would go to the Galleria all day and like write my papers and work on it. And Anthony was working at the bank, and he would come over on his lunch break. Like,
she's a character from The Rear Window.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, wow. Good. He would come in. He would come in with like his full suit on from working at the bank and just sit at the table with me for like his 30-minute lunch break. And one day, like, I was like, don't talk to me. I'm writing a paper. Like, you can come, but you can't talk to me because I have to lock in. He's like, okay. So he comes and sits down. He's just like writing stuff on something. And I like look over and he's writing, Mr. Anthony Connell. Mrs. Caroline Anthony DeAngelis. We've been dating for like 2 months at this point, and he's writing every possible iteration of like our married names together.
That is so boy.
And like, I took a video like zooming in. He's like, I'm just trying it out. But I was like, we've been together for 2 months. He was obsessed. But this reminded me.
You were obsessed.
I was, but he was more obsessed. And he'll tell you that.
So the girls come in. This is kind
of. The first time he told me he loved me, I responded with, I smell like beef.
And that, guys, say it with me.
What?
Millennial coded.
Well, we were both kind of saying it because we've been like quoting that TikTok, and then we both looked at each other and he was like, I have something I want to say to you. And I knew what he was going to say because he told me 2 nights before. He's like, that whole thing. And then he's like, get ready for it. And I was like, oh, please don't say it because I don't know if I'm ready to say it back to you. And then we were like in the car one day and he was like, okay, on the count of three, let's just both say what we're thinking. And I knew he was going to say it. And I was like, 1, 2, 3. And I said, I smell like beef. And
wait,
he
was
said,
it a
I
country
love
boy,
you.
I love you?
No, I think that had something to do with it. That was the day, though, that I smell like beef. Country boy. I think that might have been
the first time
first
you
time
said
I
it.
Said it was that way. It was just like a joke. I obviously wasn't being, I mean, I was being serious, but anyway, I don't have to explain myself to any of you. I'm married to him. Okay.
I got the ring,
okay?
Joke's on you.
Flash in my left hand, you're so bitter, you can't stand it. Remember that from the song. I can't wait till Taylor releases her song so I can stop singing my versions. Everything is actually romantic because I'm not safe and stranded and I'm flashing my left hand and you're so bitter you can't stand it. I like killed at that.
I can't believe you remember how these go.
I remember all of them, unfortunately, because I wrote them.
Can you do the bedazzled?
Of course I can. That one goes shining bright like opal light on the brightest damn rhinestone on your faded course and now. That one? Yeah. I also got Eldest Daughter, of course.
Well, of course, your favorite.
I break, I bruise, I'm older than you. Wait, no.
No, bulletproof.
I break, I bruise, I'm bulletproof, I'm older than you. I'm the eldest daughter, sack books on my head. I wish I was dead, but I'll smile instead. I'm the eldest daughter. Yeah, so like.
No, daughter's quick.
Eldest daughter. Sorry, I'm doing it from memory. Thanks, doing it from memory. Oh, my God. Last one.
And guys,
why, Ella, why did you have sex with Jack Antonoff? That's ruined the friendship.
Right.
You guys know. And she just does that tune over and over with every names, all the names.
Oh, my God, there's so many.
I'm so excited for this album. Holy shit.
I'm ready to start reading the fucking lyrics. Taylor, we have
to stop putting
doing
the lyrics
that.
out of context. Taylor, where is the team that's advising against this?
I hate
they
it.
Don't exist yet. You need me and Phoebe as consultants. I'm just saying. Because, like, I know it's going to hit when I hear it.
And I can't have my non-Swifty friends sending me these things.
I
like, I don't know about this. I know you don't know
I
about
know,
it yet.
I know. And my friends at this point, just they would never send that to me and say that. So maybe it's a you issue. Maybe you haven't laid on the law hard enough yet. Hello, Road Warriors. As you know, I'm one of the great celebrators of Halloween. So when I suggest a spooky and spicy book in October, you gotta listen. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue.
We're both reading it.
Place bets on who will finish first.
And I can't believe how perfectly it ties into our girls. It's giving gothic horror, but with insane romance. So all you Arias out there are gonna love it.
And it's also super spicy and romantic and spooky. So even if you're not an Aria, you're pretty much going to freaking love it.
We just started reading it and Caroline texted me at 3 a.m. last night telling me she literally couldn't put it down.
And I am dying to know Phoebe's thoughts because it's her first spicy book and I think she's going to be hooked. Phoebe, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah. Gothic sapphic romance meets supernatural suspense on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest. As a night of forbidden passion opens a Pandora's box of dangerous secrets and dark magic in this sinfully spicy standalone novel by New York Times bestselling TikTok sensation, Harley LaRue.
Sheesh. Obviously, we want you guys to read along with us. So you can get a copy of House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
And if you want to match us and get the gorgeous deluxe hardcover edition, it is available only for a limited time. So go grab yours before they're gone.
So Allie's having this moment where she's writing all her names.
Guys, and then it turns into, guess what? It wouldn't be the penultimate or one of the last episodes of this iteration of the podcast if we didn't have a tie-in to A Lyrical Christmas Carol.
Well, of course. Of course. All the girls run in. They're like, Allie, we've got to go. The cops are coming. We've got to go. Spencer goes, it's too late. He's already here. They start barricading the door because Elliot Rollins is banging on this door, his dead body.
Guys, the lights have now changed. You were truly, like, I mean it when I say it.
The color green.
We are in A Lyrical Christmas Carol at the Hazlitt Theater. Pittsburgh, PA.
This is either that or it's the set of Wicked. I can't tell which one. Maybe Ella rented it out for the dream.
Okay. It is firmly A Lyrical Christmas Carol.
Phoebe remembers it. It's burned in her memory. So then
Anna goes, he's awfully spry for a dead guy.
And Emily goes, maybe you should have hit him harder the first time. Okay. I love that. Blame. So then Allie starts backing up all scared. She backs up against the wall. A hand comes plunging through the wall over her mouth, which is really a throwback to how Elliot used to fucking treat her. And then they wake up. Or she's like, Emily! You can tell she's screaming Emily even with the hand over her mouth. And Emily's like, Allie, was this Emily's dream? Because we wake up, Emily's POV. She fell asleep on the floor.
And you know
by the
what?
Way, hilarious is she fell asleep on the floor and Allie's on the couch. I know Allie's pregnant, but it's so classic.
It would be so funny if this, because it, if this was Emily's dream,
and
it's so classic.
Just with Allie writing her name.
Yes. And also, like, it would be Emily's dream to, like, be in a position where Allie needs help
and is
screaming only for Emily.
Emily! I know. I was like, the way that we come to, it really does seem like it was Emily's dream, doesn't it?
Emily's, at first, Allie's probably, like, were you having a nightmare?
Yeah.
And Emily's like, no.
No.
That was a dream.
No, you are.
But I was having a dream.
No, I actually, I just had an amazing action-filled dream that made me really confident in our relationship that I am the only one that can protect you, Allie. I am the only one who has your back. And I need you to just know that based on what I just saw in my head. Wow. Anywho, they both fell asleep. They don't know how they fell asleep, but I do. Probably the gas leak. My money's on the freaking gas leak. So anyway.
The game's in there.
The game has been brought into the house and it's playing our favorite old home video of Allie saying, we don't have a lot of time in her old video.
I really wish, I understand that this is symbolic for like what's going on in the game, but I do wish it was saying, I know you want to kiss me.
Me too, because it's just so good. Or even, I see you. That was a good one.
We only
have
so many more.
I love when people randomly comment and they're like, 3 years later and I still, every time Caroline says I see you, it still brings me, I'm like, some of us just have certain talents. What are you going to do when I stop saying it?
Well, they're never going to have to know what they'd have to do if I stopped doing my Robert Durst impression.
Well, because that is never going away. Never going away. Who put that sticker on upside down is my question. Like, I'm in our playroom. The paper plate's on the wall, of course. Why is there a Safe Fenway Park? I know who it was. Why is there a Safe Fenway Park sticker upside down on the wall? Who did that? I know it's Phoebe. She's hiding her fucking face, but I knew anyway before she did that. It had to be. It wasn't me.
I think I did it before I could read.
I mean, I hope. All I can say is I fucking
and
hope
I think
that's
I thought it was
it.
A Dick's Sporting Goods sticker.
Oh my God. You were so dumb. I'm just kidding. That's
no,
a joke.
The concept,
you guys,
the concept of
I'm going to get a comment like, Caroline, you are so mean you don't even know it.
The concept, she does know it.
I'm trying to be mean.
The concept of Fenway Park ever being at risk of being like torn down.
No, I know.
Like, what are we thinking?
Insanity.
What are you actually thinking?
I haven't been to a Red Sox game in so long.
I've never been to one.
You never have? Oh, we really, next summer.
Well, we'll be there.
Will they still be playing? Yeah, in July. Okay, we need to because I've been to a lot.
We were just watching, the baseball was on the TV last night and mom goes, oh, are the Pirates playing? And I said, Mom, the Pirates don't play in October.
The Pirates play for about 1 month.
And then, you know, they get a vacation. They get a nice vacation.
Yeah.
If I was like mediocre.
That's why everyone wants to be a Pirate.
If I was mediocre at baseball and like I didn't really care, the Pirates would kind of be the team to be on.
Dream job. Okay. So Emily wants to leave, but then there's a knock at the door. They think it's the cops, but it's Aria's voice calling for them. You know, at first I thought that was the deep fake. I thought
me
that,
too.
And then they're in the car with Ezra and Aria. So I'm like, okay, guys, everything's fine.
The technology in these couple episodes are so like 2017 because we get a deep fake and then later on we get augmented reality.
Yeah, that was wild. Like, just say AI. So we go back to Caleb and Spencer walking through like the creepy basement at the Two Crows Diner. And he tells Spencer that he doesn't think Mona's AD because she was so scared. Like when he met her at the thing. And he says,
what does Spencer call him? Call her?
I don't know.
Middle management.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm getting there. He goes, poor Mona. She always wanted to be in charge of something. And Spencer goes, God, and she ended up in middle management. That's got to hurt.
Yeah.
Like, well, and Seth Marks doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
And hey, who's saying that, Spencer?
Yeah.
Or Alex?
Yeah.
Who put her in middle management?
Good point. Good point. So Caleb's like, oh, by the way, Hannah and I are married. And Spencer, he goes, there's a part of me that wants to say I'm sorry. And this is the part where I'm like, I don't feel like Spencer would respond like this. She says, I'm confused. Sorry for what? Don't you dare apologize for being with me.
And don't you dare forget it.
Any of it. Because I won't.
Ew.
I just was like, that's not a Spencer line. Wait, I feel like Spencer's like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm happy. Caleb, I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
I want this for you. Like, that's how Spencer's reacting, even if she doesn't mean it.
And word to the wise, if you were in a relationship with someone and then you meet them somewhere down the road and you find out that they're married, you don't say,
don't forget it.
Any of it.
Because I won't.
I want you to picture us having sex.
I know. I'm like, okay. Like, and I don't think that's why he was apologizing, really. Like, I think it was more of like a, if this sucked, because I know we were just together,
and now
like,
I'm back with the person
like
that I was with.
It's not like I'm sorry you and I were ever together. I don't feel like that's what it was. Another reason I'm just like, I think if this person he's talking to had been there for their whole relationship and all of this relationship with Hannah as well, mm-hmm. the reaction would have been different. And Alex has, or like when I think it's Alex, she's got multiple moments where like she always just goes a little bit sassier, a little bit sluttier than Spencer, which is saying something. But it's
yes,
true.
Yes, it is.
So Ezra, Aria, Emily, and Allison are all in the car, and Allie is apologizing to Aria on behalf of all of them.
What a nightmare trip. You know, like...
Oh, nightmare blunt rotation, you know, car.
There's probably a point where, like, Ezra and Aria want to ask. There, for some reason, Caleb and Emerson can't go on the trip.
I was going to say, in what world are Caleb and Emerson not in the car together?
Like, those would be the couples. But then there's, like, for some reason, they just can't. So Emerson has to go with Ezra. And oh, you know that they are just like, when they're driving to wherever they're going to meet to then get in a car, all four of them, they're just like,
they're like, this is going to be
Allie,
a long fucking car
and
ride.
Allie, just let Aria be. Just let her talk.
Emily's like, please, no conflict. Please, in the car. I hate, and then I get car sick when there's conflict in the car. I get motion sickness.
Allie's like, you get car sick.
All the time, Em. Anyway, so Allie's like, oh, we shouldn't have shut you out like that. Emily goes, vanishing you from the tribe.
She's been watching Survivor.
Emily, whatever. Allie goes,
Pam Fields watched the Survivor canon.
Yeah. Allie goes, it's something I would have done in high school. And Aria, understanding for the first time in her life, says, you panicked. And when people panic, they go back to old behavior, which is also giving what's happening with Mona. And then there's like a cop's, like a safety checkpoint. And Ezra does the most conspicuous possible thing he could do and like basically drives over the traffic cones to get out of it. If I'm a cop, I'm like, and sirens are on and I'm
literally
trailing you.
Exactly. So we go to Rosewood Times Square and Hannah sees like flowers starting to fall from the church tower.
Yes.
Then we go back to the tunnel. What do they see?
They don't see anything, but there's no signal. They're like trying to get in touch with someone, like the phones just are. Oh, they see basically like a little.
Cause they go
like, wall, like another. I don't know what that was, honestly.
Me either, but I was writing when it happened initially and I didn't have time to rewind.
Yeah. I honestly don't
Hannah's,
really know.
Hannah's climbing the steeple.
Yeah. She's going up to the bell tower where she finds Mona. Fully dressed as loser Mona.
Hey, where were these clothes? When did you have time for a costume
change?
Did
you have time for a costume change? And a hair change. And she's got those purple roses that I feel like Cece fell with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Mona is completely no longer like attached to reality. She thinks that Hannah is Charlotte and says she was waiting for her.
Which is not the situation you want to be in when you're at the top of this
bell
tower.
Fully not when you know what happened to Charlotte last time. She was up here. Thank you. So Mona seems to be like remembering something. She said that Cece had to meet her there, like use the word had.
Mm.
And she says that she had watched Cece for 5 years while Cece played everyone. And we get this flashback to her the night that Cece died and they're in the bell tower. And she says to Cece, like, I've been watching you. You play the doctors, the court, the lawyers, your sister. And Cece's like so pleased with it. She's like, oh, well, you always were the smart one, Mona, not Spencer. And Mona has decided she's going to stop Cece from hurting people again. And
this terrible line when Cece says, do you still see her when you look in the mirror?
Because
I see her.
The loser, Mona. And Cece's like, you know what? I just am so proud of myself because none of the girls, including you, have any idea who you are. And that's because of me. I took it from you. And everything that happened before is going to feel like a picnic compared to what's coming now. And Mona says, this made me actually want to burst into tears. Mona goes, I'm not going to let you do that to my friends. And I'm just like, knowing these girls don't fucking claim Mona at all except for Hannah. Ugh. So Cece's like, looking out at the town, she's like, I fucking hate this town, I'm gonna have to change it too. At which point Mona picks up some sort of a weapon. It's like a stick, like a metal,
looks like a screwdriver.
Yeah, I thought so too. And Cece's just 0% afraid because she doesn't think Mona has the guts to kill her. To like, which I say,
sorry,
then you are severely mistaken. Yeah,
she once hit her best friend. Yeah, and hey, if I remember correctly, Cece, you once called her out on that.
Yeah, you have no, I mean, if Mona wants you dead at this
you'll
point
dead.
You're pretty much gonna be dead, dude. So this is where Mona says, has this great little monologue. She says, people will think you committed suicide your first night home. How's that? Jump. And she's pushing her up at the window. Jump or I'll push you. I'm giving you more a chance than you ever gave any of us. Maybe you'll land just right and live. A few broken bones and you get to send me to prison. It's possible. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about a lot of things, aren't you? You're not going to trick me this time. And then she pushes, and it's actually Hannah that she's pushing, and it's back to reality. And Caleb walks in and says,
back to reality.
Wait, that's so funny. Caleb stops Mona from hurting Hannah, and Hannah says, Mona killed Charlotte. Mona's right there, can't even hear her, just adjusts her braids from like the little fall. And when we get back to the car.
Well, wait, we see puzzle pieces up at the steeple.
When we get back to the car, the puzzle pieces are hanging on the.
Oh, I thought they were hanging in the steeple
of the car. Yeah.
And Mona goes, I love puzzles. And it's like, Hannah, love you, girl. We did really fuck her
up. Yes. And it's so sad because like they're like, okay, we should take Mona to the police. And Hannah's like, we cannot take her to Lieutenant Butterscotch like this. Like, no way.
And she says that.
Yeah. And this is where they say, like,
Lieutenant Butterscotch. She says that.
Says what? Hannah says the words Lieutenant Butterscotch. Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. But here's where they say, basically, like, she went back to a safe place. The place where the worst thing was just Allie being mean. So the girls are deciding they're going to call Dr. Sullivan, okay? For a second, I was like, you can't call her. She's dead. Forgot that was Original Sin. The only Pretty Little Liars reference in Original Sin. So Caleb and Ezra are going to stay and watch Mona, and the girls are going to go finish the puzzle, which is at the De Laurentiis dungeon.
I think they actually set it up at the Lost Woods.
Oh, okay.
That's where
you're right.
And they get their grand prize, and it's a picture of Elliot Rollins' ID, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, I guess Lieutenant Butterscotch can arrest us, but she doesn't actually have a body.
Right.
So, like, what can she really say? And then they,
but are they thinking that the grand prize is the body? That they're going to go
find
it? And
then I'm like, okay, what the fuck do we do with it then?
Yes. And so they get a message that says the eyes have it. And the puzzle has, like, eyes on it. And so they're watching. At this point, there's, like, this little figure that starts walking on the phone on the puzzle pieces.
It's giving... Everybody wants to play Pokemon Go, but nobody wants to Pokemon Go to the polls.
Exactly, Phoebe. Spencer goes, it's augmented reality. Like, okay, you're losing me.
And Hannah goes, not really an answer.
So good.
Because Hannah goes, is that a cartoon?
Yeah. That's
and Spencer
response.
Goes, it's augmented. And that's, I do like, obviously.
She's like, so yes or no?
That's such a Spencer-Hannah interaction, but I do like the idea that it's Alex Drake, and Hannah's just basically insulted Alex Drake's handiwork.
Fully.
And Hannah's like, what even is that?
Yeah.
And Alex says, it's augmented reality.
Of course. And when Hannah's like, not an
not
answer,
really
and Alex
answer.
Like twitching. So,
guys, it's freaking Aunt
They
Carol's.
Think of where you can hide a body, and they remember, because they this person that they see, the augmented reality person, is tiptoeing to this mystery location, which is revealed to be Aunt Carol's.
Sorry, I'm like, okay, this isn't a grand prize. If I have to go on a scavenger hunt now,
no,
this is still
this
the game.
Is still part of the game, yeah. And I'm also, they're like, what could be there? We've looked through every part of it. I'm like, yeah, it's been like a year since you did that, dude. There could be plenty. Like,
and,
what do you
and
mean,
hey,
what could possibly be there?
Hey, by the way, it exploded the last time you were there.
Yeah, no, don't forget, there's plenty of hiding spots, I think. So they remember there was that symbolic Charles grave there, and maybe AD made it
a
real
fake,
one.
Make a fake grave a real grave.
Yes, so they go there. And they realize they have to dig up the grave. And Arya stops them. And she's like, guys, what if we just walked away? What if we don't do this? Like, I don't think we have to do this anymore. Every time we dig up a grave, the only graves that are dug up are ours, which is such a good point. And she's like, let's walk away. Like, whatever. And they're wondering if they should verify that he's down there. And they decide, let's stop the crazy by stopping acting crazy. That's what they decide. So they start walking away. And they hear this horrible rumble.
This is so epic, though.
This was epic, actually. They hear the rumble of, like, I was like, is that a car? Can't be. Way too big. Is it a plane? It's a gigantic tractor. and huge lights that are shining on the girls. And then from the trees come all these fucking cops led by Lieutenant Butterscotch. Do you think she's wearing stilettos? I'm like, the way she walked down this hill, this dirty dirt hill.
She's figured it out at this point.
She is on her toes. She's like, my balance is not an issue.
So then, Lieutenant Butterscotch says,
you ladies need any help?
Spencer also said some Italian to the grave.
Yeah,
don't
she
remember
likes
what.
Like almost like a blessing.
I hate when if you have captions on and someone says something in a different language, it just says
in a foreign language.
Yeah,
tell me the language or tell me what is being
said.
Tell me both, actually. Thanks.
So then we go to the police department and the girls are all here and the boys are with Mona and they don't know that any of this has happened yet, obviously.
And the girls are trying to decide like what they're gonna do.
Like, hey, baby, there is no plane. They're like, they're talking about how they're going to get off.
Exactly. And one of them is like, let's tell the truth. And Hannah's like, so that's definitely not going to get us off because I have the skin of a killer in case you've forgotten. And Spencer's like, oh, Hannah, yeah, that's the baby. There is no plane. Like, we're not getting off. That's not the thing. The police aren't interested in mercy. They're interested in justice.
And justice is a blindfolded bitch.
Whoa. So Elby walks in, says, by the way, we found the body in the grave. It was identified as Downhill. She's like doing the jig of joy, clicking her heels vibes. She's like, you guys stay here. I just have to do one thing and I'm going to make you watch. And she goes in the interrogation room with Mary fucking Drake and all the girls watch in the two-way mirror. As Mary Drake confesses to killing Archer Downhill, she says, I killed him because he's not a good man. He tricked me into stealing from his family and planning to kill my niece. And if I told, he said he'd tell the police that I murdered Justy. And then they're like, did you? She's like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I fucking did that.
I have a TikTok idea.
Okay, what?
An edit to No Body, No Crime with Lieutenant Butterscotch.
Mm.
I think he did it, but I just can't prove it.
Okay. Well, get started, Phoebe.
Okay.
Oh, you wanted me to do it?
Yeah, because you're going to be able to do it well.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm not a cap cut, girly.
Okay. Well, I love it. So the only thing Mary will not do is tell Lieutenant Butterscotch who her accomplice is. That's why I'm like, is it
Alex or Spencer?
Is it Alex or Spencer? Like, is that why?
Or is it someone else? Is it Ted?
Yeah, I don't know. So she's reading over the statement again, and then Elby comes in and all that for this. She releases the girls.
Hey, guys, they just said I don't know and I did mean that. Don't comment. Don't correct us. Don't tell us if this is Alex or not.
Yeah, don't.
We will figure it out
one more episode.
Next episode.
And then we will know. I can't get over Elby coming in and saying, I'm sorry for any inconvenience. Hey, what do you mean you're sorry for any inconvenience? As if you don't know
just,
if one for sure happened?
You just like looked them in the eye and said they were about to get arrested.
Yes.
And then, when you brought someone's confession statement into a room to have them sign.
Yeah, you knew what was happening in there. Did you just want to, like, I'm confused.
She just wanted that one moment to be like, I just want them to think I got
them. And this is that, I think they did it, but I just can't prove it moment. Because Hannah's like, well, you're just going to let us go. And she goes, well, you haven't done anything wrong, have you?
That's how it starts. It starts with this scene.
Ooh, good. Okay.
And then it goes in and it's all the times of them catching each other.
And then at the end, it'll end with Lieutenant Butterscotch saying, go home. You're not criminals. Not really. Try and remember that.
Yes!
And that's the end. Okay, we got it. Anyway, she says, I can give the judge a clean story, even if I don't fucking believe it, or I can give him a box of loose ends, but I know what he's going to like better. So I'm just going to do this and you guys can go have your fucking life because what I believe and what I can prove are two different things. And so the girls all leave.
That's how I know I couldn't be a detective, you guys. I'd be so frustrated.
No, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm proving it. I don't care if it kills me. And it might, but I will be proving it posthumously if I have to. So the girls all leave, but Spencer hangs back behind a second and is like, can I talk to Mary? And Elby says, it's better if you don't.
And then
This is an Aria moment that's classic.
Then we watch, oh, wait.
She did this for you. Don't ask her to explain. Like, anything anyone's ever done for Aria, Aria's like, and I'm just going to take it and go. Okay, perfect. You know, like, that is, like, where it does come back to just being who she is.
Oh, my gosh. And then Mary Drake walks out, and she does the weirdest. No, you're giving her too much credit.
You're right.
Because she just...
She just puts her finger. I wanted you guys to know what you're doing since this isn't visual, but she does but she doesn't do it.
She just like presses it to her mouth really hard.
Really, really
and,
hard.
And like makes her eyes go
really
wide.
Hard. Really hard. She bruised her face doing
we
this.
We could see it immediately.
Oh my God. You can see
it. Oh, by the way, I showed mom my massive freaking scab.
She freaked?
That's at least a centimeter deep.
Did she absolutely freak?
She said, oh my God.
Well, you know, I have bruises all over my body in the shapes of paw prints. Because Drama keeps coming over and putting all his weight on me. And I have these little teeny paws. I was like, what is this? I have like one little circle and then one, two, three. Like I literally have like a paw. I was like, what could this be? And then I realized Drama will come over here and like press down on me really hard
on
my legs.
Oh my gosh, I get to see them tonight.
I know they will die. They're going to be so excited to. Okay. So we got to get through this. Mona is at the resort all the girls are here now talking to her, like, with a lot of kindness, actually. I always see photos from the scene, and I didn't ever know that it was Mona sitting in the couch. I always see it from, like, behind mm-hmm. Mona's perspective, and I always thought it was, like, the girls fucking coming down on whoever it is. I actually thought it was, like, Spencer or Alex versus whatever the girls, but
when
it's Mona.
Spencer sits down and she's like, Mona, like, Dr. Sullivan is coming and everything's going to be okay.
Like, it's going to be fine. And then Hannah apologizes. She's like, Mona, I'm so sorry for showing you the game.
Oh, this line.
And for pulling you in. And Mona goes, but you needed me. And I have the whole thing. And
yeah,
I'm just going to give it. She goes, but you needed me. You don't know what that felt like. You needed me. Just like you needed me to take care of Charlotte after all the horrible things she did. I'm sorry I messed that up. Nothing ever happens the way it's supposed to with me. I'm just like, Mona, girl. I know she's fucking crazy. Like, I know it's giving Lana Del Rey. Like, I was fucking crazy, but I was free. Like, that's the vibe. And I want the freedom from her own mind for her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So here it's like, okay, so she didn't actually kill Charlotte then. So we go back to
Caroline's
the flashback.
Like doing the Drink of Joy. She's like,
I honestly wanted her to. I was like, it doesn't change how I feel about you, girl.
That's right.
If you're, I already know you're a cold-blooded killer. Like, it's okay. So we go back to the flashback and Mona says, say goodnight to the world, bully. It's the final. I'm like, actually, I'm glad that wasn't the last thing Cece heard, because it was not as much of a serve mm-hmm. as you maybe thought. And she starts to push her, and Cece gets thrown to the ground. She doesn't actually, like, Mona does not push her out the window. She can't do it. And Cece says, I knew you didn't have the guts. And then fucking attacks Mona, telling her the girls will never love her, et cetera, et cetera. Mona pushes Cece into the wall, at which point, like, Cece's whole face drops. She falls to the ground, and we see.
I'm not trying to be a non-believer.
Okay.
We see the gap. I guess that part of your neck is so sensitive, but, like, I don't believe that killed
her. Wasn't deep enough, wasn't big enough, wasn't enough. I was expecting a pool of blood based on...
I was expecting her to almost have to be stuck on the thing. Me too.
I was too. I thought she was impaled, because the way it is, it's, you know, obviously they were saying it was like the suitcase handle.
They were
like,
probably
it was
like
a
fuck,
what,
we
hollow,
like, did that
rectangular...
We did that whole thing about the suitcase.
Edge or something.
We have to put something on the wall of the steeple that looks just like that, because we forgot we did that.
Because
we
forgot about that, and that is a pothole they might call us on. So there's something
that's the wall. That's the only one.
Yeah.
That's the only loose end we have to tie up. Other than that,
I think we're good if we just do that. So Mona, we come back to the present, and Mona's like, the police never found the weapon because they were looking for something hidden, and this wasn't hidden. It was like right there. And then the sun rises immediately.
I was like,
out of nowhere, birds
okay.
are chirping, sun is up. Like, it happens in like 5 seconds.
It's giving
the bell
a play.
Tolls. Yes. And the game shuts down.
Congratulations.
Allie goes, touch it to make sure it's dead. Did we end the game or did Mary? And Hannah's like, well, Mona ended it when she told us what happened to Charlotte.
Like,
and I forgot that was the whole
Hannah's
point.
Hannah's like, hey, actually, it was Mona.
Hey, actually, can we give her this, like, one
hey,
thing?
Actually, we didn't do
She's
anything.
Not even lucid enough to hear us. Like, can we give her this one fucking thing? Ugh. So we realize the game. Mary saved them from AD by confessing. So AD doesn't have the leverage now over the girls to put them in jail for this.
All the girls are like, are we sure?
I'm like, okay. I mean, and Aria is like, again, we're just going to take it and go, right? Okay, that's what we do. People do things for us. We just take it and go. Spencer's really not sure about anything except for her freaking girls. And Hannah says, let's get out of here before things get too mushy. And they leave the Lost Woods Resort. They leave the game in the room. They're leaving this behind. And we get this montage of the game.
Guys, this is like the last day scene ever.
It's, oh my God. And then we see the little dolls, and they're in a plastic Ziploc bag on the passenger seat of a car, and A is driving somewhere, and the song that's playing is like, I can't live if living is without you.
I can't live without you. You can't live without
and
you.
That's our last A scene. That's crazy.
I know.
That makes me emo. Okay. So, you guys, we're going to get into the synopsis for next week, the fucking final episode ever of Pretty Little Liars. I can't believe it. Phoebe, read the synopsis. The synopsis.
All right. Sorry. This is not.
Take your time. I don't have anywhere to be.
I'm really sorry.
Someone's probably out the door.
That one, like, looked really weird. It just didn't look. Okay. Till death do us part. It's 1 year later, which Caroline's going to love to hear.
Are you fucking kidding me? All right. I'm not watching it.
It's
just
one
kidding.
Year later, and the liars have moved on with their lives. But the past isn't finished with them yet, as the ultimate end game is revealed.
Sheesh. I'm ready for some freaking answers.
That's right.
I'm ready. All right, guys. So that's the episode. Make sure you send in any questions you have for Sarah Shepherd. We're recording with her next week. So if you want to ask questions, get them in now. Tuesday's going to go crazy. We're going to be talking Showgirl, Lord Concert, Ghost Tour, like fun weekend. It's going to be great.
Oh my God, the Ghost Tour this weekend.
We're going to be vlogging this weekend. That's going to go on the Patreon for our Dream Rotation tier two. So check that out, of course, when it's up there. Guys, our Halloween merch is out. Get it. It's really, really great. You have all of October to wear it. Please check it out. We love you so much. Thank you for listening. If you've been here from the beginning, you're a fucking real one. And if you haven't, we're just so happy you're here. Please never leave us. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. And
kill them all, of course.